This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Sean Preston.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of the Good Neighbor Podcast. Today, we have a good neighbor on with us, and that's Brandon Day of Community Builders. How's it going?
Hey, everyone, and hey, Sean, thanks for having me.
I have to ask you, because that is a mighty beard of Zeus. How long have you been working on that? A masterpiece.
You would be surprised at how many times I get asked that question, but I've probably had it since at least 10 years, so trendsetter.
That is cool, man. What's your, can I just ask you, like, what is your manicure routine with that?
Well, you know what? I'm actually terrified to do it myself. So I have a really awesome barber in town at Vintage Throne Barber Lounge. And that's where I go every once in a while when I really want it taken care of. So
Dan is my boy. Yeah, I almost was rocking his shirt today. I decided to go with Disney, but I almost rocked his shirt today.
I'm expecting a free trim up after this podcast. So
nice. Nice. I'll put in another good word for you. Make sure you get it for free. That's awesome. Well, hey, look, we've never met before, and I'm a curious guy, so why don't we jump right into it and explain to our listeners a little bit about you guys.
Sounds great.
So go ahead.
Oh, all right. So Community Builders is the leading nonprofit social enterprise construction company in Simcoe County in Sudbury, which is a massive mouthful. But what we do is create affordable housing, meaningful employment, and healthy communities. So we're kind of not like most construction companies or nonprofits that people might know about. At the heart of it, what we're really doing is running a trades training program for people with barriers to employment. So all kinds of folks who aren't getting quite the same access to the labor market as others. And as you know, two of the biggest problems today that we face in Canada are the affordable housing crisis and the skilled labor shortage. So Community Builders is really, combating both those things. And we have a really cool and innovative model as a social enterprise in which we do that. So we're really like any other construction company you would hire for the needs that you have. We do a lot of work creating legal second suites. We do a lot of apartment turnovers for community housing. We're building modular housing and accessory dwelling units. So like we do all these things like a construction company, but at the end of the day, we're also training and developing the next generation of skilled tradespeople and offering, you know, our clients who want to work with us that ability to participate in solving these problems and creating more of an impact through their regular purchases that they would be doing anyways if they hired another construction company. So we're quite unique that way.
Right, cool. So pretty much anybody could be your client. Anybody who's got a type of renovation project could reach out to you guys. And what does that process look like when they do?
Yeah, so we always just encourage people to go through the website. There's some information that we would need from folks. So if you go to www.communitybuilders.co. We have different information on what we do and the type of projects that we like to do and can do, as well as a questionnaire to just get that immediate information that we would need to contact you and come take a look at your project.
That's a pretty cool thing you guys do. You go hand in hand with what we kind of embody here on the show and trying to connect good people with their local community. And then you take, people who have restricted access to get into the trades and work with them. And that's got to be a pretty rewarding thing to take somebody who turn their life around and set them on the right track in some cases.
Yeah, honestly, it's the best work. We get to watch people go from, come into our training center with their head down, not sure what they want to do and carrying a little bit of baggage, and then they leave with their head high, full of courage and wonderment towards their new career and pathway. And we get to be a part of that every day. So it is pretty amazing work.
I mean, you take a look out there because there's a lot of guys and girls in construction, and anybody can be a contractor, right? Anybody can grab a tape measure and grab a saw out, cut some wood and put up a wall and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, what you guys are providing here is a very thorough training program And anybody who finishes with you guys, I would imagine, has a really solid foundation and a level of training. Like, they know what they're doing when they leave you guys.
Yeah. So like, our big, big goal, and where we see the most need, is to try to get people employment ready. You know, I talk to all my contractor friends, and funny enough, I say, what are the things that, you know, you would need from somebody to hire them? Cause at the end of the day, the goal for us is, after people are done their paid 12-week program with us, we are trying to get them full-time employment. And we've got, you know, somewhere around the 85% mark success rate in getting graduates full-time employment. And so when I ask my friends and other trade guys what they're looking for, they kind of laugh and just say, can they show up on time and not go on their cell phone? And it's like, yeah, they can do that. Absolutely. They've been doing that for 12 weeks. Yeah. And they've also got hands-on experience now in all these different aspects of the trade. So they're teachable now, right? They're employable and they're teachable. And that's what we all need. Our careers last a lot longer than 12 weeks, but that's the point of this program, is to, you know, connect people to our network, open those doors, work with our employment partners, because they're getting a great service out of this too. We're almost acting as an agency for them, vetting folks who are hungry to want to get into the trades and are coming with tools and PPE and safety certificates. So it's really quite a cool thing.
Very cool. What's your journey been like? Have you always been doing what you're doing? Some people start off, they always know what they're doing. They do it for their whole life. It seems a little bit more rare than the common, because we ask that question every time. But sometimes people take a hard Larry and do something completely different. So what's your journey been like to get to where you are today?
Well, I'll try to give you the short version. Fairly divine. I feel like this is a special thing for me and a calling. And really, it did come out of just that journey for me to find purpose in my own work. We have a tag that we say we're building with purpose, but that really is what I was searching for. So, you know, when I got married, I ended up moving out here to Barrie, Ontario. I'm actually from Sudbury. And so, you know, moved away from my support system, had to kind of figure out what I was going to do. I had some experience in construction and in different facets of construction, working for my own family's business coming up. But I moved out here, worked for some other people, got some experience in renovations and things like that. And you know, just kind of felt like it was time to do my own thing. And really, through that process, things were going okay. They were going well. I had a small team and we were getting work. But at the end of the day, I just felt that pressure all the time on me as a business owner, and just not really kind of very happy in my work. You know, it's lonely sometimes, right? And then on the opposite side of the spectrum, at the same time, I was a global village leader for Habitat for Humanity. So I was flying all over different places in the world, building homes with teams and, you know, just loving it, right? So doing that, one, for free, it's much harder. 40 degrees out there in El Salvador or Bolivia, wherever we are at the time, working with hand tools. But at the same time, you know, you're connecting with the families, you're connecting with the community, you're using your gifts and talents for something that is really meaningful, right? And so coming back, really trying to replicate something like that, like, you know, I don't want to only experience that 2% of the time over the year while I'm traveling a week or two here and there, right? How can I do something meaningful at home? So I connected with a local charity that was providing transitional housing for women and children fleeing domestic violence, and started volunteering with them. And that was really great and rewarding. But at the exact same time, I could really see that volunteers are not going to be our answer to the affordable housing crisis, and that we would need to do more than that. So really just started having conversations with the ED at that charity called Redwood Park Communities. And we asked ourselves, what would it look like if we did something different? And that was really the start of Community Builders, that one question.
What a cool story, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, you come across special people sometimes that not a whole lot of them, but sometimes they happen to come on the show. I'm interviewing one right now. That's a really cool story, man. You do great work, and really, really happy to have you on the show. Okay, so we're talking about the construction industry here. What are some, like, do you got any myths or misconceptions that kind of come across your way on a regular basis? Or
yeah, there's lots. I mean, one of the top ones for me is that people don't want to work. That is an absolute myth. Sometimes they don't want to work for you, if I can be bold enough to say that.
Right.
And other times it's just like, you're not creating the environment that people want to see anymore. Right. Times have definitely changed. I grew up in it, so I know what it's like to be yelled and screamed at and working 60 hours a week and, you know, not having time for much else. And, you know, that served me well. That was all right for me. I ended up coming out of it with some good work ethic, but you know, if I could have avoided some of that, I think I would have liked to. And the opposite is not true either, right? We're not here to hold everybody's hand, but I think the idea is like to create these opportunities for people who aren't getting the opportunities. They want to work. I am so surprised at the lengths that people go to join our program. We've had people literally sleeping in the forest, walking out to Midhurst to our training center, biking, like doing whatever they can to get through this program because they're so hungry to work, right? So I don't believe that myth. And it's unfortunate because it's holding back our industry, right? Because we're looking for the next generation of tradespeople, and we gotta turn over some rocks. And because if we're all just banging our head against the wall saying nobody wants to work, and we're going to be doing that for the next 10 years until we start changing our attitudes and changing the way that we work as well, right? Creating these bridges, this understanding, you know, a welcoming place for everybody. Yeah, there's lots of amazing people, I would say, in the trades right now who are a little bit more progressive, looking to change the industry for the better. And that's a journey that I'm really enjoying being part of as well.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear. It's refreshing. I think human beings in general, it's a human nature thing that we kind of don't look inwards, always look outwards. Mm. And that factors in just people in general, whether you're a business owner or not. But that's a great thing. Great question that you had. You know, people don't look inwards. They're always like, you know, am I creating the right environment here?
Yes.
Or, you know, my people, do I have a good culture? Am I still old school? I can completely relate to, you know, the getting yelled at thing and the bullying and stuff like that. I did 9 years of that in the car business. It's, you don't want to have anybody kind of go through that. I mean, it's molded me to, in certain ways, but you know, if I had to go back and do it again, I'd have to think about it. Cause, you know, you want to be treated the way that, you treat others if you're treating them good. You know what I mean?
Golden rule, man. We learned that in kindergarten, right?
Yeah. Well, not everybody. I guess not. So, but okay. So, when you're not working on the business or working with people, helping people find a career path and a passion, and being a leader in what you're doing, when you're on your own time, what do you like to do for fun?
I love fishing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. All right. Beautiful. Let's get on.
All right. So, you know, I grew up fishing all my life with my dad. We're big pickerel fishermen up in Northern Ontario. But now that I live up here, I've really like opened my horizons because we have some of the best steelhead and brown trout fishing in all of Canada, right around here in Simcoe County. So I'm really just kind of still exploring all these rivers and, cutting my teeth there.
That's definitely, I've not, as you put it, cut my teeth on doing the river fishing. I do have a really awesome story for you. If we're talking about trout, this was speckled trout fishing up in Sault Ste. Marie. We went up with a family friends. They have a log cabin that her father built by hand back in like the mid 50s. And they've since kind of added a couple things. Wintertime's fun, so you can get there by snowmobile, but you can only get there by boat or by ATV in the summertime. So we went up, we took the ATVs up there as our family. We went on a little family ride and stuff. I think I was probably maybe 16. And we brought our rods, just number two MEPS, and we just walked up the hill. I didn't have a net. We started catching. I had two fish in each pocket. I had cargo pants. I had another fish in one of my other things. And just they're flipping around everywhere. You know, it was cool. And my youngest sister, she had to have been maybe 12 at the time. She caught the biggest one. I had to hold her body because this thing was pulling her in the stream. It was pretty cool.
Love it. Yeah, there's nothing like fishing. And to me, it's such a great respite just to get out in the river where it's quiet and try to detach a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, no phone, you're just out there. It's pristine. And then, you know, depending on what you're going for, the fight's good. And there's nothing better than, you know, catching yourself a meal. And that's all healthy stuff, right?
100%.
Very cool. You married?
I am. Yep. Yeah, I am married to Emily Day, who I actually think was on this podcast for Flourish. So I'm very proud of my wife, who also has a social enterprise. And uses a different vehicle through flowers and small business to teach women the skills they need to get back into the workforce as well. So, yeah, you don't see that too often, eh? Two people doing the same kind of weird work. But
yeah, you guys are like a couple of gemstones.
Yeah.
Very nice. Any kids?
Yeah, two kids. I got a little boy and a girl. Boy is 7 and girl's 9. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good ages.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they still want to be around you and hang out. We got a 17-year-old. It's like pulling teeth to get her to watch TV with us, you know? I only get an hour.
you got to remind yourself those things, eh, in every stage that they change so quickly. So
Yeah. But all great things. And a family man to boot. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's switch gears here a little bit. Talk a little bit something more on the serious side. So sometimes in life we don't really get to – We try to pick a path, right? We pick where we think we want to go. We aim in a direction. We start heading down there. And then life sometimes just puts a completely new path in front of you. Sometimes you have to walk that path or experience going through because you need to get to the other side. And I've always said on the show, I am very intrigued and appreciate the resiliency that human beings have to be able to overcome, you know, life challenges and hardships. But finding that silver lining at the end is also something that we need to process mentally to move past that. And so I'm curious to ask if you've ever experienced a hardship or a life challenge that you overcame and maybe if there was a silver lining or two that came from it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been lots, and it's been my experience that there's always a silver lining to hardship and suffering, right? We do come from a culture that doesn't want any part of suffering or hardship. But if we look at the people that we admire most in life, they've all been through some stuff, right? So I do take that, you know, hard, easy to say and harder to understand when you're going through it. But, you know, the whole journey of Community Builders was a difficult one. We're doing something new, right? We're doing something that, you know, we're figuring out along the way and still are so much, right? Because it's such an innovative thing. So when we first started, you know, we started with almost nothing and we grew so fast. So just the challenges of business and understanding the people that we're working with and all those things has been a lot to do. But that's that, you know, I just really believe like you're always learning, right? So,
yeah.
Taking on that challenge has been rewarding for me and it's shaped me a lot. You know, I wouldn't be the same guy that I was 7 years ago when this all started. I wouldn't be able to handle what's happening now if I hadn't been through some of these things. So that part's been really rewarding for me. And to be honest, like every day I watch people stronger than me come through the doors who are dealing with a lot more and bigger challenges. And that kind of inspires me to take on the weight and do what I can do from my end. So it's hard to feel sorry for myself some days when things are tough or I remind myself that it is and just keep going. But you know, as far as specific examples, I really feel like getting through COVID was something that was really rewarding for me as a leader. You know, so many doors closed after that will never open again. So many relationships got broken through that. And I was just very proud at how we led through that and how we kept everyone working as much as possible. And, you know, we're a bigger organization now, so we have people from both sides of the spectrum there, yet we didn't have the division we saw in a lot of other places. So I was really proud that we kind of came through that well, and that we're still standing strong today. That was a difficult thing to lead through. So yeah,
I can relate to that. I was leading our province and another province in a sales director role, and had put blood, sweat, and tears into building up a $12 million business, and watched it all crumble to the ground. It doesn't even exist anymore, that company. So
great to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. And so I know what it's like to hit rock bottom, and I actually came down so hard I smacked my face. I went up a little bit, then smacked it again on that way down. It just, but you know, humbling experience, and you learn from that. The character and person I was to who I am today, and the work that we do, and try to be involved in the community through our publications, but you know, now the podcast and doing the networking and being a part of our Chamber of Commerce and these types of things that it'll help you learn things. You know, you learn. Still the youngest person in the room. I can't wait till I'm not. I might regret saying that one day,
you're still here, right? And it's amazing how resilient people can be when they have good support systems around them and people they can depend on, right? And again, I think, you know, we're both, we both care a lot about community, and without that community around you, when you hit rock bottom like that, or you go through something tough, it's a lot harder to come out the other side.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely something we have in common. So what's one thing that you wish your listeners knew about your business?
I think for us, it's just, you know, we've been accused plenty of times of just quietly going about our work, and you know, it's great to get amplified a little bit on things like these podcasts. And so just the thing that, you know, if you hire community builders, it really supports our mission. You're directly contributing in combating the affordable housing crisis, training the next generation, and really you're getting a service that you already need. So if you want to be a part of what we're doing, I would just encourage you to reach out. You know, hiring us is a great way to support us, but also, you know, we are looking for guest speakers. If you are someone who's got a skill set that's valuable to pass on to our trainees in our program, whether that's in construction or that's in life, we are going to just connect with folks that want to do good things. If you have different ideas around partnerships, social impact projects, like, feel free to reach out to us. All our information's on our website, again, at communitybuilders.co. You can follow along with us about what we're doing on our socials as well, which I think is the same, but that's not me, so pretty sure you'd be able to find it. I think, like, our promise to our clients is really that we provide fair market value and better than industry standard quality. And you get more impact when you work with us. So that's really what we're throwing out there for the world.
Yeah. It's one thing when you're spending money for something that you need, that you get to go as far as they go with you guys, and being able to be a part of something bigger than, you know, themselves, and helping impact our community, the place that we live in. It's a trend that's been out for a while now, and it's not something that's going away. In fact, it's just ramping up. You know, you take a look at news outlets around us, big news outlets as well, that they're giving information to people that they just are not interested in. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know what's going on in the world. We're not discounting that. I'm certainly not discounting that. But people care about where they live, and they care about the news and information and the people that live in it. And so, you know, what a nice way to be able to get something that you need from somebody local. And that's what we do, is we promote local, but going towards a cause that checks a lot of other boxes in terms of helping people while helping yourself. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Yeah. It all starts locally, right? When you're connected to your community, it makes things so much easier to feel a part of things, right? And feel part of the change that you're making. And hopefully that ripple effect just continues to move out and out.
Yeah, I've had the privilege and pleasure of you know, when I was 18, 17, 18, I started, you know, I got my kind of first real job of being like an inside salesperson for a company locally here. And then I quickly, in 1 year, I became an outside sales representative for them. So that was my first kind of, you know, real outside sales job. And they gave me Ontario, Alberta, and British Columbia. And then the job right after that, I was kind of doing something similar in the same industry, but I got to visit every major city in Canada in about 9 month span. So I'm well traveled across the country from coast to coast, and there are definitely some beautiful spots in our country. And I've lived in Toronto, I lived in Newmarket, I've lived in the eastern side of the GTA. So I've had the chance to bounce around early in my adult life. And I have to say, I always keep coming back here. This is the spot. It's the gateway to cottage country. It seems like now we're missing out on these crazy snowstorms. Hopefully that trend continues from there. You know, but it's a beautiful spot. And when you like where you live, where you understand, you know, when a place like Simcoe County checks all of these boxes, you start sinking your roots, you start investing everything into it. It seems like that's what you've done. That's what we're looking to accomplish here with our platforms. And, you know, really happy to have you on the show. Really happy to have the conversation. And one more time, if people are interested in wanting to learn more about you guys and what you guys can offer, what's the best way to reach you again?
Yeah, that's probably it. All the information on our website. You're welcome to sign up for our quarterly newsletter. All those things, keep up to date on what we're doing. So, and all the information's there to reach out, whether it's a project or an idea, or you just want to connect.
And what's the website again?
Communitybuilders.co.
Communitybuilders.co. Phenomenal. Well, thanks a lot, Brandon, for doing this. Great conversation. Really happy to get to know you, and good luck out there, and hope to be able to do this down the line.
My pleasure, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Midhurst. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnpmidhurst.com. That's gnpmidhurst.com, or call 705-413-3775.